We cried together, we laughed together, and I never once saw her complain about being a woman. In fact, she magnified the position of what women in God should be and can be. Hallelujah. And the other one is my wife. Praise the Lord. And they all have this common thread. They love God and they love being a woman. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, my wife can take the simplest thing and make it look so classy and so absolutely beautiful, like she walked out of a fashion center, only it is modest, and it just radiates her womanness. Hallelujah. And it's not what you see with your eyes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you women have a great influence. You have a great influence. And there's something that's said about a woman in the Bible that it doesn't say about a man. Did you know that? It says that a woman has the power to build up her home, or she has the power to tear it down. Can you imagine, Sister Bola, that you have that power? How about you, Sister Ruthie? Can you imagine that you have that power to do something of that catastrophic event that has lasting effect upon all of those in the house? Hallelujah. No wonder the devil wants to turn everything upside down. And there's something else about this, is that when you read the Old Testament and you read about the kings, who do they put into the place of preeminence? The king? Oh no, it's the mother. And whatever the king did evil in the sight of the Lord, and his mother was. Or the king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and his mother was. You don't hear anything about the dad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not that the dad's not doing something, that's for sure. I mean, he's got to be doing something, right? Hallelujah. There is something very important about you. There's something very critical, very crucial. There's something very catastrophic and absolutely necessary for that which God has purposed or planned to work in the realm of the kingdom. You're not just supposed to bring forth this natural children and raise them as unto the Lord. You are supposed to be like mothers in the church. Mothers have a position. My God, I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have a praying mother. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here. I would not be doing what I am doing. And if she didn't believe in applying Bible. Oh yes, Mom had a razor strap. You know what a razor strap is? It's a leather strap. It's about this long, and it comes around, and it's doubled, and it's got a little handle on the end of it. And it can be either a stationary handle, or it can be one of those loop handles of leather. And she got it from Grandpa, because Grandpa used to use a straight razor, and this is what they used to shape. They would sharpen that straight razor. Well, we were too young to shave, but Mom figured that if she used a razor, she would get a sharp. She could sharpen this up. And then, you know, when Mom went for the door where that razor strap was at, you know you were in trouble. And you know something? My mom didn't fool around. My mom believed in Bible. You know, and she didn't have the revelation that we have as a church. But one thing she believed, that a child left unto its own devices would come to a sudden ruin. Hallelujah. And so she would only speak to us once. Hallelujah. And if we didn't do what she wanted to do the next time around, we heard the singing of the razor straps. Hallelujah. Now, there's something to be said about all of that. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. That's just for what it's worth. Praise the Lord. There are a couple of things I want to finish up from what I was talking about the other day. If you don't remember, I'm not going to go over it. You'll have to get the tape. Hallelujah. And I had said yesterday, I think it was yesterday, it was yesterday, right? I said yesterday that that we have to be practical in our religion. We have to be practical in what we believe, and it has to have a practical application. We have to know what it is that we are fighting about. And we have been covering a lot of that, but I want to get a little more specific. But before I do that, I feel in the spirit that I need to mention a couple of things. And they involve two different visions that I had at two different times in the last couple of years. Well, brother was ministering. Excellent word, brother. Excellent word. As he was ministering, I was reminded of those visions. You know, I had traveled extensively coming to Nigeria. I think we had come for about 17 or 18 years consecutively, sometimes once, sometimes twice a year, coming to Nigeria. And every time we would go to Nigeria, we'd come through here, and then we would come back and we'd come through here. But in Nigeria, there was a... we were traveling there, and the vision, there was a vision that God, at the end of that time, it was about in, when did I stop coming? God took me off, he pulled me off, and he gave me a word. He says, I'm putting you in prison. Of course, you want, that's the kind of word you want to hear, right? You want to hear that kind of word. I'm putting you in prison. And he took me off from traveling, and he set me down in the hammock. And he said, it's going to be 5 years. Well, those 5 years turned out to be almost like 10 years in my mind, but it was just 5 years, almost to the date. And I'm telling you this because at the time that he told me this, he said that I would, at the end of that time frame, after I had learned what I was supposed to learn, and let me tell you, God does certain things to you to bring you to a position or a place of subjection to his will. Praise the Lord. And it was a very difficult time for me. It wasn't easy. For one thing, my heart was going out here. I've been in and out of Africa all of my life, my Christian life, in my younger days and through my 30s and 40s and into my 50s and so forth and so on. And so it was a very difficult thing. But we have to understand that God is outside of us. He's inside of us, but he's outside of us. And he wants to do things in accordance to what will work the very best for us and also facilitate his plans, his purposes. Hallelujah. And, you know, so he took me off of that and he brought me into a place of seclusion. And it was a very difficult place. I'm not going to go into that. It's too long a story. But at the end of the time frame, the Lord gave me a word. I was sitting in a meeting where the word of God was coming, and then there was a particular time where there was a man that got up and he began to minister all of the right things. It was slick. You know what I mean by slick? It was smooth. It was convincing. And the man had at one time been involved with this work, with this word. And so he had all of the terminology. He was a very educated man, very talented man. He had a very charismatic personable personality, very friendly, very outgoing, and you almost immediately would like him, and you were drawn or attracted to that personality. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank God for the spirit of discernment. I thank God for that ability to see in the Spirit, to hear in the Spirit. And when I was sitting there at the back, and I was watching what was happening, and I began to discern something very, 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 very wrong. And one of the things that he was doing, he was hitting all the good points. He was developing the position of the sons of God. Developing the benefits, telling you all of the bennies of being a son of God. Position of authority, position of walking and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And he stepped over all the hard spots. He talked about the two witnesses and the power and the glory, but he didn't talk about the two witnesses as their bodies were laying in the street for 3 days and three nights. Hallelujah. But what frightened me is the heads of the people that I could see from the back. They were all going like this. They were all saying amen. Hallelujah. They were all shouting and amening. And God said something to me. He said, now this was in 2009. He says, my people have my coming upside down. Now that may seem a little strange. Hallelujah. But that's what he said to me. And then he said to me, he said, there are certain events that have to transpire prior to my coming. Hallelujah. Well, he then took me into the Thessalonians where it talks about the great falling away, the apostasy that would stand up in the midst of the holy place people. Hallelujah. And I was seeing it, you understand. I was seeing the ability and the potential of those who have been sitting. Brethren, some of these people have been sitting under the Word of God for years. They have heard the same thing I heard. They had been as revived as some of those people were rescued. Their lives were saved physically because of that word. And yet they were there in agreement with the spirit of deception that was ministering. And I said to God, why is it? What is wrong? He said, my people do not know me. Do not know me. And, you know, that was the message that God loosed me out of my prison with and began to send me out. I have been going like a madman since 2009. Hallelujah. And I have seen the development of the deception. And I have seen the development of the outward circumstances politically, economically, that is bringing us to that place where the Bible calls Armageddon. Hallelujah. You know, there was a man, as you well know him, Gaddafi. He prophesied something. It was in the news. I don't know if it was in your news, but it was about 3 years before he died and or was killed. And what he said was that in 10 years. The European Union will be a Muslim state. And we will not have even fired a shot. Hello? Have you looked around you lately? Have you gone to look at the demographics of it? Now, what is so alarming about this? Well, I'll tell you what's alarming about it, is that in the word that you have chosen concerning the theme of this conference, it not only talks about Lot's wife, but it talks about Noah. As in the days of Noah. Now, what do you think about when you think about the days of Noah? Huh? Well, you think about Noah and building his ark and so forth and so on, so on and so on and so on. But what I thought, what God brought to my mind, was that there were only 8 souls left in the world who could be considered by God to be righteous. Does that not have something to do with the fact or the thought as in the days of Noah? But the thing about it is happening so slowly. But believe you me, things are going to start escalating before the end of the year. You mark it down. Hallelujah. There are some things coming down the pipeline that are going to affect the United States that are going to be very traumatic politically, economically. Hallelujah. And whatever affects the United States, no matter what you think about it, is going to affect the world. And you know, brother, I'm not offended. You can talk about the Americans and their measurements all you want to. I'm being delivered. Hallelujah. So you don't have to apologize to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it says that when Babylon fell, if you want to consider America the Babylon, I think it's a part of the Babylon. A major part, maybe. But when it fell, it says that the merchants of the world stood afar off, as though they thought the falling of it would get as far away from it as possible so it wouldn't affect them. It isn't going to happen. Because the devil is no longer moving in selected geographical location. The devil is now gone global. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? He's gone global. Hallelujah. He has his network. I saw it. I was in Sierra Leone, and God took me up out of Sierra Leone and into the Spirit. And I saw the devil's network. I saw how it was working, how smooth, how absolutely flawless. This man, this spirit runs a machine that's well oiled, well experienced, well developed, and it moves without a hitch. Hallelujah. Because the church is sleeping. Did you hear me? The church is sleeping. The church is asleep. Hallelujah. And not only that, but the church is diverted into secularism. Quite frankly, I don't even like to call it church, because when you think of church, you think that it is something that has something to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. Did you hear me? And it's not that God can't move into hell and save somebody, because He does. Hallelujah. Because He's true to His word. I saw a homosexual speak a scripture to a man that the man got saved. Not because of the homosexual, but because of the word of God that was spoke to him, and it smote something in the man's heart. Hallelujah. God will use any means, by any means, to get somebody saved. To get them out of the hands or the clutches of hell. He will do anything He can to get you. It's His obligation. It's His responsibility. But once you are saved, you are accountable. You are in a position or a place of accountability. You become liable. That's why the Bible says that you and I are supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. And if you go into the scriptures, Revelation, and you go to the fifth seal, or the fifth church, or the message to the fifth church, hallelujah, you are dealing with the golden altar of incense. And at that point, and that point only, I get a robe. I get a name. And that name is projected or proclaimed in the heavenlies. Did you hear me? That's the fifth station. That's the head offering. Hallelujah. Where I divorce myself from my ways, my thoughts, my position, my place of excellent thinking. My God. Hallelujah. Now, how deceived can I be when I think of me as being an entity unto its own right that has a certain position of right and ability to perform and to do what it is that God wants me to do? It is impossible. Hello? Did you hear me? No, I don't think you heard me. To live Christian is impossible. To fulfill the calling and election on your life is impossible. And God made it impossible because He wants you to want Him, to need Him, to use Him in the facility, in the capacity to come to that place of righteousness. That's why the flesh is weak. That's why the flesh cannot perform. That's why we carry around this dead man upon our back. You know the devil, he knows he doesn't have to worry about you. You know the Romans have a, you know, leave it to the Romans, right? They developed or devised a way of crucifixion. You know, I think one of those people there had a direct connection with hell. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And I think he was taking his instructions from the devil himself. I really do. Praise the Lord. I really think that. And he's talking about, oh wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You know that's Roman style crucifixion. You know that? They take a dead body and they strap it to your back. And they put it where you can't get it off. And you walk around with this dead body. Hallelujah. It's putrefying. And the things of poisons are coming out. And it's coming in. It's strapped to you. It's strapped to you. Yes, yeah, rub it off, sister. Hallelujah. It's strapped to you. Well, the devil is doing that to you and I. So he really doesn't have to waste too much ammunition. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to waste too much time. Because we are cultivating the relationship with this dead man. And we're carrying him around on our backs. And he's leaking into our spiritual being. Hallelujah. And we end up halt, lame, maim, blind, deaf, and dumb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I told one of my grandfathers, I said, you don't have a right to pout. Huh? No, I said, no. I said, you don't have a right to pout. I said, you're born again? He says, yes, Grandpa. I said, you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He says, yes, Grandpa. I said, you don't have a right to pout. You have to rejoice. Hallelujah. You have to bury the old man. You don't have a right to cultivate him. You don't have a right to harbor him. You don't have a right to pamper him. Hallelujah. What makes us think that we can have a pillow to lay our head on and a roof over our head and clothes to be put on our back and food to eat? What gives us the right to think that that is our right and that is our liberty? Hello, are you there? It says the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Is a servant above his master? And is it going to be required of me to do what was done that he did? And is it not going to be required of me to take upon myself that which he appropriates to me and do it in the right way? Do it with the right attitude? And amen? Oh boy, that one was weak. Huh? This is not a hard message. This is a message of life. This is a message of liberty. This is not a hard message. Hallelujah. It says that's for the joy. Do you not have the joy? Do you have the joy? In the tribulation, in the trouble, in the trials and all of the thoughts of things not prospering you or bringing you to this place where you can enjoy life? Huh? Do you have the joy? Then you don't have the vision if you don't have the joy. And you need to know something about your vision. 10 blind men sitting on the side as Jesus Christ was coming by. Huh? Begin to cry, oh thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. We need to follow that example of that blind man. They said, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And he shouted out, oh Jesus, son of God, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there was something very well demonstrated about first fruiters to me. There was a testimony that a friend of mine had about catching a plane and flying, and they had to go through Frankfurt and they were late. I don't know if any of you have ever been through Frankfurt. I hate it. You can't read the signs, they're unfriendly, and you got to walk from one part of the airport down to the other part, which is probably 2 or 3 miles, and then they tell you have to go back over the other place. back and forth, back and forth. I spent all day just trying to find my gate one time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this time they were coming into Frankfurt and their plane was late. And of course, they were under construction. Frankfurt is always under construction. And the signs are always pointing the wrong direction. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're sunk. Or if you have the Holy Ghost and he's not working, you're in trouble. And you're going to miss your plane. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen? Come on, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were late, and the way the line was going through security, it didn't look like they were going to make their plane. And there was one man that was on his plane, on that plane with them. And as they were working their way through security, this man came running down the line. And he was going past everybody to get to the front of the line. He said, I'm sorry, but I got to get there. And you know, everybody was saying, how rude is this guy? How rude is this guy? What is this guy doing? We're all having a plane to catch. What makes him so special? What made him special is his tenacity and pushing forward. And he got up there in the front of the line and he just walked right in. Well, my friend missed her plane. And so they go to the counter to negotiate. Now, don't ever try to negotiate with Lufthansa. It doesn't work. Hallelujah. So they decided to negotiate, and because of the how it was set up, it was really the mechanics of how they did it that made them miss their plane. And they were saying, well, you could have made the plane. And they said, how could we make the plane? And he turned around and looked, and the line was about 13 people long. And they were all Mr. Plane. Huh? And he said, well, because one man made it. Hello? They set the standard on the one man, and the rest had to be judged according to that one man. It's a biblical principle. German? Biblical? Bible? It's a biblical principle. It says in Noah. Huh? No, it says that God condemned the world on the basis of the righteousness of Noah. Excuse me. He said that he condemned the world, not because of Jesus Christ, because of the obedience of Noah to do what God had spoke to him to do. How much more will we be held accountable on the basis of the revelation that we have? And you can't, you know, I'm sorry, when you leave here, you can't say you didn't know. You can't say you didn't know, because we are giving you the keys. And if you do nothing with it, it's not our fault. It says if, you know, it says if a watchman standeth on the wall, and he look and he see the enemy come, and he begins to blow the trumpet. He says, the blood is not on his hands. There is a trumpet blowing for you. There's a trumpet blowing for the holy place people. Hallelujah. We heard it over and over and over, and it's not just coming from me. Hallelujah. But the vision, I want to get back to it. When God released me, I had this vision. I wake up in the morning and God seems to just come at that time to share with me. And in the vision, let me see, I want to get it right. Oh yes, in the vision, I was up on a very high promontory cliff side, and it jutted out like this. And I had walked out on it, and it was very high, and I was looking down, and it was, I don't know if any of you have ever seen pictures of the Malibu coastline and things of that nature. Very beautiful coastline. And it's very rugged, very high, steep cliffs. And sometimes those cliffs come around and they meet the sea. So they have a little beach that stretches out. And that's what the picture was like. And the locality of it was also speaking something because it's Hollywood. And I looked down, down there, and I saw all of these people. They were frolicking and having fun, and it was the holy place people. Now, this was about 5 years ago. They were doing all kinds of games. You know how you go. You play volleyball and you kick the ball and they're flogging. But they were so dressed so inappropriately. So inappropriately. And they were just having fun. Having fun. Just having fun. And I looked out there and I saw this little hill out in the ocean. Little hill. And the Spirit of the Lord said, warn the people, a tsunami is coming. Hallelujah. And so I began to shout, and I began to point, you know, and I could see the thing getting bigger and bigger and moving faster and faster, and they're all still frolicking and playing in the waves and doing the things that people do on the beach, picnic. And then there was a little girl who seemed to see me up there, and she began to point at me and began to say something, which I didn't know. But people began to turn and they began to look. By this time, I was kind of like a madman. You understand? Dancing around the different sides and shouting and gesticulating out there and just doing anything I could to get their attention and telling them to get out of there. Get out of there. A tsunami is coming. And they begin to mock me. This is what reminded me of it. They begin to mock me. And then they begin to emulate me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that was the end of the vision. That was 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, when God sent me out again. So, you know, He kind of gave me an idea of the reaction of what was going to happen. But that doesn't stop my position of responsibility to you as a people. Hallelujah. To begin to sound the alarm of the position or the place of jeopardy. I was in Sierra Leone maybe 2 years ago. Hallelujah. And I had a series of experiences. In fact, I had so many of them during that place, time frame, I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was losing my grasp on reality. I'm living in this make-believe world where all of these things are floating around. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't. I don't know. And anyway, I had a particular dream on top of another dream that was on top of another dream. And when I came out of that dream, I said, God, I'm losing my stability here. I'm losing my mental. I was by myself at the moment. Hallelujah. And I said, I'm losing my grip on reality. Is this really you? And about that time, somebody knocked on my door. Sister Geraldine, she knocked on my door. And she said, telephone. Who knew to call Geraldine at her house in Sierra Leone and ask for me? Hallelujah. But it was a sister who happened to be in Kinshasa at the time. Hallelujah. And she began to tell me a dream she had. And the dream she had was the dream that I was in. Hallelujah. So it told me the reality of what it was that God was bringing to me in that position or in that place. You know, in one of those experiences, God, whether in the body or out of the body, I have no idea, but I woke up and walked out of my room and walked down into their living room. Only when I walked into their living room, it wasn't the living room anymore. It was a war room of hell. And there was a table. An oval table there with chairs all around it. And there were men and I call them Hellenic angels. Hallelujah. There were men and some women around the table. And I knew by the Spirit that these men and these women who were real men and women had been gotten there by an out-of-body thing. And they are always on alert. This is the high council of hell. You talk about spiritual wickedness in high places. We have no idea. We have no idea of how the devil is orchestrating. And on the table were files. The table was full. The table was from here, maybe over to that wall. And it was full of stacks of files of governments. of countries. All of the facts, all of the statistics, all of the people, all of the things and the mechanics of those things, and they were discussing them. But over here on the side of the table was a special stack. Special little stack. And I knew it to be the stack of those who have been delegated or offered a position in the First Fruits company. Hallelujah. And when they opened it, it had everything you could think of. They opened the file. They knew my wants, my desires, my troubles, my places I go, the things I do, the people I talk to, some of the conversations that I had with those people. They had everything and anything that you could possibly imagine about me. All recorded in that. And on that one, on the back side of it, they have the sheet that determines my weak spots. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, for God, for some reason, didn't show me what they were. I guess I couldn't handle it or something. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Huh? What I'm talking to you is fact. It's an experience I have. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm not telling you schools out of tales. You know the reality of the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. You know the reality of it. You have a history. You have a heritage that deals with it. Hallelujah. Now you're getting more educated, you're getting more sophisticated, and you kind of want to put it behind you. You kind of want to hide it. Don't want anybody to know something of that about you. But that doesn't make it go away. The only thing that cancels it out is Jesus Christ in the midst of your being. Coming to a place of fullness, that's the only thing that cancels us out. Hallelujah. And there was something about these dossiers on different individuals. There were certain places that were blank. Hallelujah. And I knew by the Spirit those were the pages. This was a man who got born again and God wiped the slate clean. Hallelujah. You know, we are supposed to be spiritual people. Brother, we are. We're supposed to be spiritually in tune. But we're not. We live in a myriad of spirits that are around us. This thing was so organized. They come to a conclusion in the dream or the vision or whatever it was. Hallelujah. They would make up this order of the day. Hallelujah. And then they would bring these spirits. I called them giant spirits. I didn't know what else to call them. They were so tall, so big. And they had these little seed packs, and they put these little balls of instructions in the seed packs, into these bags, like a sower would wear, goes out to sow. He wears this sack. They put it. Now, these spirits are spirits that follow darkness. I sound a little crazy, don't I? They follow darkness. They can't even abide natural light. They are so wicked. They are so engulfed with their wickedness. They can't even abide natural sunlight. They can't do it. So they follow the darkness around the world. And as they go through their designated areas, they're sowing. They're sowing. And they're sowing seeds in government discontent, corruption, coups, and all the manner of trouble that you have, that you see. You see it. It is something that was orchestrated by the devil. And he programmed a program, and he begins to sow it. He comes through your area. He tosses one at you. You have a dream, or you have an encounter in the spirit. The spirit comes to you. Where do you think that spirit came from? And who gave him the order to do what it is that he's going to do in your sleep? It's because one of these spirits, and you haven't girded your mind up. You haven't girded your mind up. You haven't girded it up with the spirit of truth, with the living word of God. You know, it's so simple. We could drive devils out of our house just by turning on the Bible. You can drive the devil out of your house by just turning on the Bible. You don't have to be listening to it where you're sitting there and listening. Just letting the Word of God permeate the environment of your home. Hallelujah. You young people, you're listening to all this rock Christian music. It's devil music. Devil, 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 devil. Where is the unction? Brother, when I was a young man coming into this Word, we would have meetings and the song of God would come out of the congregation. We weren't getting it from contemporary rock music people. We were getting it out of the midst. All of those songs that you used to sing. Hallelujah. They are not songs sung by the world. They're not songs sung by contemporary church people. They were songs born in the position or in the birthing of a word that was flowing. Did you notice the difference when we sing a hymn? Huh? Most of those hymns were wrote in the crucible of fire. One of the major songwriters, what was the blind woman's name? Huh? She suffered. If you ever saw that, she was in pain from the moment she was born until the time she died. And out of that crucible of fire, not all of her songs, but many of her songs have an unction, have an anointing that pricks your soul and move you. And I'll tell you something else. If you want the Spirit of God and the gifts to start manifesting within your midst, you have to have that type of song. You have to have it. It has to be something ordained, coming out of the heart of God, not out of somebody's electric guitar. We are in trouble. Hallelujah. But we can fix the trouble if we're really serious about it. If we really see the need for it. Maybe we don't see. Some of you are going to leave here and you're going to just go right back and you're going to do just the same thing that you always did. But someone in here, if just one of you in this room finds the reality of God and begins to press toward God, you will deliver many. Yes. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And 300 decimated an army of Midianites that was multiple thousands of men. Hallelujah. We are not in that place. That's the first thing that we have to recognize. That's the first thing that we have to come to a conclusion. We are not in that place. I am not in that place. So that means I have to do something about it. I have to fast. I have to pray. I have to seek God. I have to be thinking about God. I can't look at my eyes wander over here, or my ears go over here, and my heart go out there. I have to keep it on track with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when the Spirit of God moves, you will have revival. I saw it. You know, the meeting in Port Harcourt spoiled me. It's what we used to have. When I was a young man, 23, 24 years of age, and I came into the mess, that's what we had. The Spirit of God moving. Hallelujah. You know, and the deliverance began to flow. Nobody was laying hands on anybody else. Nobody was prophesying or pushing. Oh, there was some of that, but my God, hallelujah, the liberty that came forth and the deliverance that was moving in the midst of the congregation. My God, hallelujah. We are living in the midst of a dying world. We're living in the midst of a hell-infested, demonic kingdom of wickedness. And we're sitting and twiddling our thumbs. And we're playing church. Oh my God, people. Hallelujah. And I'm not telling you you're such bad people. I'm telling us that we as a people are in trouble. Tribulation is coming! In that same time, that same experience, no, there was a different time. We went into Sierra Leone. There was a contingent that went into Central Africa, and there was a contingent that came from Nigeria up to Sierra Leone. And I happened to be with that contingent. I came in and joined that contingent in Sierra Leone, and we did major damage to the kingdom of hell. Major. And I don't know if anybody is really, but you know, Africa, now don't get me wrong, please. Africa is like a generating plant. There are generating plants around the world, but Africa is a major source. Hallelujah. And it's because of the reality that people have concerning these things that we call spirits. Hallelujah. You grew up in amongst them. Some of you are still afraid of them. Hallelujah. Some of you are visited at night. Some of you have to deal with dreams and seductive spirits that come in your sleep. Hallelujah. You should have the power in your sleep to wake up and to rebuke it. And if you don't wake up, you have the power in your sleep to rebuke it. Yeah. Hallelujah. You need to teach the devil a lesson. Hallelujah. Devil comes to play on your weaknesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But you have to do something about it. You know, when my boys were young and strong, they had these muscular bodies. You know, I was a carpenter. I was a contractor, and they would work for me. And when they would come to work, they'd want to take their shirt off. It's hot in California. And I said, "You're not working for me if you're going to take your shirt off." I said, "Your body was meant to have clothes on it. So put your clothes on." "But Dad, it's hot. I said, "You either go off the job or put your shirt on." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Ducille said there's going to be a style and it's called naked. Huh? Come on. You're funny. You think it's funny? It's here. I'm walking through the airport. There's this billboard. It comes up to the ceiling up there. And there's a naked woman hiding behind a perfume bottle. Have you seen it?
Oh, yes.
Huh? And the perfume is called Naked. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You don't think the devil doesn't know something about your nose? You don't think that the perfume you put on doesn't have a purpose or a plan? Now, come on, ladies. I'm not against perfume. I wear cologne. I like cologne. But I'm not going to buy something that says something that I don't want to do or participate in. Hallelujah. I'm very selective about it. Sometimes I go into one of these stores and I say, "Well, you know, Lord, I really want to buy something for my wife. I really want to buy something for my granddaughter. Oh, what do? I'm walking, wandering around, and I walk out with no bag." Hallelujah. It saves money. Hallelujah. You cannot behave in the natural arena and then expect to be spiritual. It does not happen. Does not happen. It does not happen. Does not happen. You dress your body in such a manner that it's revealing you in a way, or exposing you and causing somebody, somewhere trouble, you have a problem. Because something is going to be accounted unto you as unrighteousness, because you are a people who have a better word. Do you hear me? You have a better word. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, my wife, she comes to me and she says, "Do I look all right?" Now, that's a funny question to ask me. She always looks all right. Hallelujah. She always looks all right. But she will turn around and she says, "What do you think?" She's asking me. Huh? When was the last time you asked your husband? Hallelujah. She asked me, "Am I all right?" And I said, "Well," and she said, "Well, I thought so." And she goes and she changes, and I never see it again. I never see it again. You know, my wife, she's quite classic. She's quite a classic thing. My goodness. And when she dresses up, she looks beautiful. Do you hear me? She's beautiful. Hallelujah. Absolutely beautiful. Hallelujah. It's not her countenance. It's the whole demeanor of her being. And it reflects in her clothing. And when she's a professional woman, you know. She was a real estate broker. She still is a real estate broker. Has been for 20 some years. And she worked for some of the high-end real estate people. You heard of Remax, right? Well, she worked in a Remax office as a broker. She was good. She was very good. And so she began to think that she needed to dress the part. Hallelujah. So she began to dress the part. She was buying all of the designer clothes, the designer jeans, and all of the things that go in that arena. You know, it's a funny thing. I see you all wearing pants, and then Sunday comes, and you're all wearing dresses. So you must have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Why are you wearing dresses? Every other day you have pants on, but on Sunday you wear dresses. Something wrong with this picture. Something wrong with it. And when I married my wife, hallelujah, she was a professional real estate broker. Dressed the part, impeccable. Hallelujah. And you know, I didn't say nothing to her. No. I didn't say nothing to her about her jeans with the little white things going down the legs and all the outlines on the pockets and the big belt with the little silver and stuff things, you know, and the big buckle there, you know. I didn't say nothing. Come on, I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing. I was careful where I took her, but I didn't say nothing. Says you have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Hallelujah. And I did one other thing. I went into my closet. And I said, God, you gave me this woman as a compliment to the ministry. Something has to be done. So would you please do it? And I had to walk through the doing it. And she would dress and we'd go out and, you know, I'd always make sure that we were someplace where we didn't know anybody. I'm just telling you my humanity, right? Maybe I didn't believe God was able to do something. I don't know. Some of us think God can't handle our wives or husbands. I don't know. We have to step in and do something. Hallelujah. It wasn't maybe 5, 6 weeks, 7 weeks down the road. And she came to me and she said, Bert, what do you think if I were to get rid of my jeans? Now inside I'm going, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And I said, pray, God, give me the right words to say. And I said, well, do you think you really want to do that? And I decided I was going to make it a little harder on her. I said, well, you know, maybe they're not so bad. He said, no, I think I should get rid of them. I said, well, okay, praise God. I'll stand with you if that's what you want to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And she hasn't worn, that was 20-some years ago. She hasn't worn pants since. We've been out on the farm farming, doing all the work that we have to do on the farm and the store and all of the manual labor that was given to us. Not one time. Always dressed appropriately. Always looking very much the woman. Hallelujah. And you know, her demeanor, her behavior is influencing my grandchildren, our grandchildren. Hallelujah. And one by one, our grandchildren are coming to us and telling us, we're not talking to them about that. God said, Grandpa, do you know, Johanna, do you know what God said to me? I said, what did he say, honey? She said, he told me that I should not wear pants anymore. This is when she was 13 years old. She's now 17. Hallelujah. Is this God different? Huh? Is there some shadow of turning here? What is wrong with the picture? And you have problems, you understand. You do, you have problems. You have to fight with spirits. Hallelujah. We have to do something that is practical. We have to do something in the natural arena to facilitate the spiritual reality of God, to invite God into it. Now, don't go home and change your dress because you heard this message. Hallelujah. Change your dress if you're convicted. If you're convicted. If you're not convicted, that's your business. I've given you the word. You can do with it what you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to go back now and give you some of the mechanics. I wanted to give you some of the mechanics of how this darkness works. Hallelujah. Yeah. Are you tired?
No.
Are you about to go to sleep?
No.
Are you sure? How about back here? What's going on? Are you still awake?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I haven't been back here for a while, so I better come back and make sure. Ruby, what are you doing way back here? Crying out loud, girl. You should be at the front of the row. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to join her? No volunteers? All right, you're in trouble now, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now you're on the front line. Hallelujah. You know the Lord's after you, son. He's digging deep. Do you hear me? He's digging deep. He's digging deep. And you better listen. If you don't listen, it's going to be trouble. Hallelujah. If you want to turn with me over into Genesis. Hallelujah. See, you came up here just for that. Praise God. There are three levels of darkness. All right, I don't know that we really need that. Can we turn that off? It kind of gets in my face. You're supposed to have a Bible anyway. It makes us lazy. If you got a Bible on your phone, you got a Bible in your hand, turn you open your Bible. Let's get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Do you still know where Genesis is? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I asked my granddaughter one time, one of my little ones, says, where's Genesis? Where's the chapter in the Bible? She says, it's up there, Daddy, Granddaddy. I said, oh, that's good, but you need to learn something. Hallelujah. You know, grandchildren are fun. I enjoy all of them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are three levels of darkness that you and I have to contend on. Hallelujah. And the Lord showed it to me in this manner, and I want to give it the same way to you that God showed it to me. And by the way, God showed me this beginning of it in Nigeria many years ago. Only He has worked and developed it. And I'm going to draw it like a house. Hallelujah. Because in some respects that's what it is. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 12. Now 12 is the number of government. Hallelujah. Now God had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And this has everything to do with your theme concerning looking back. Because you wanted to know what you're looking back for, right? What you're looking back at. Hallelujah. So the first level of darkness is country. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first level of darkness is country. Oh, what does that entail? Well, I don't know. I'm going to get some answers from you, I hope. But let us look at it from my perspective. My country. We have what we call the Declaration of Independence. Hello? We have what we call a Declaration of Independence. So first and foremost, I have the right to be independent. Separate. Hallelujah. And that independence is part of my darkness. Hallelujah. Every man is created equal. Hello? Hallelujah. That means I have the same rights as you, and you have the same rights as me, and you have no business imposing yourself upon me or my rights. Huh? It is a unilateral, I suppose that's the right word, unilateral government of one. Huh? Now, if it's a government for the people, of the people, by the people. I'm telling you what my darkness is. And let me put it more personal. Government of Bert Asbill, for Bert Asbill, by Bert Asbill. Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, there are certain princes of darkness that rule over me in this arena of darkness. Hallelujah. Now, you are from Nigeria. Tell me, what is the motto of your country? Do you have a motto? Do you have a word? Do you have a slogan or saying? Huh?
Unity of faith.
Unity of faith. Of faith. Faith. Unity. And progress. Now, these all sound good. Huh? Faith in what? Faith in what? Faith in yourselves? As people? Huh? Huh? But now you have to understand, these aren't Christian edicts. This is the government of hell. So you have to look at it. Unity in what respect? Unity for what purpose? Huh? Progress in what manner? In what way? How do you determine progress? Huh? How do you do it? Huh? Okay, all of those things are well. Hallelujah. How about education? Come. Everybody's quiet all of a sudden. How about education? You're some of the most educated people I have ever met. And it's not wrong. I'm not against education. Reading, writing, arithmetic. I'm not against it. Learning how to spell, how to communicate. All of those things are important. But if it becomes a throne that rules your destiny. Hello? I had one of you here several years ago tell me that the reason why they have small families is because they can't afford to send all of them to university. I had one of you tell me that. That's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Huh? Hallelujah. Some of you have more letters after your name than I got letters in my name. I know a person, he's got two masters, and he's going to back to get a third master's. And he's totally non-productive. He's educated, but he's non-productive. He can't function as a person in a society except for in a classroom. Hello, come on. I'm talking to you about darkness.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, unity at what cost? Huh? Unity at what cost? Hallelujah. You know, that's funny. It's not funny, ha ha. You say unity, but yet you are a divided people. Or am I mistaken?
No.
Tribe against tribe? Ethics against Igbo against Aruba, blah, 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 down the road. Huh? Hallelujah. What if an ethic man marries an Igbo, ethic woman marries an Igbo man? What happens? War! Huh? So much for unity. Huh? Huh? Oh, peace! Oh my goodness, peace! Peace! I have never thought as Nigerian as being a peaceful place. Especially downtown Lagos. It's every man for himself. Boy, yes. Yes, definitely. I have to pray and fast to go through the Port Harcourt airport. Hallelujah. I just came through there. My goodness. Hallelujah. Now, this is country. This is just one house. This is just, and we could go on. Right? Go on. So it is your father's, your country. This is your country. All right, what is the next one?
Kindred.
Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Kindred. Well, some of you are compounded. Now, let me back up the country a minute. Some of you have been, Englandized. Huh? Hallelujah. So you don't have to deal not only with the Nigerian position or place of inheritance, but you have an English heritage. Huh? And you can't, some of you lived here for years, and you're probably more English than you are Nigerian, and you don't really know about it. Hallelujah. Double trouble. Double trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the things that go with it. Come on. Make a list. Go home, put these things down, and make a list. Make a list of your darkness. Identify it. Get to know it so that you can begin to work against it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is practical. These are bullets in your gun, brethren. Hallelujah. You don't go out to war with a gun that has no bullets in it. Hallelujah. If you did, you'd be a dead man. Hallelujah. So you have Nigeria, you have England. Hallelujah. Now, for me, I am part German, and I'm part English, and I was born and raised in America. Threefold cord is not easily broken. Takes a lot of fire, takes a lot of tribulation, takes a big meat grinder. Hallelujah. All right. Out of thy kindred. All right. This is the house of kindred. Hallelujah. Kindred. Well, it would be tribalism? Huh? Hello? Are you still there? Are you sure? You're not going away on me? Huh? What are some of the things that fall under your tribal position of responsibility? Who can tell me?
Marriage.
Huh?
Marriage.
Marriage. Come on, this is good. This is good, come on. Culture. Culture. Some of the other things, come on. Give me some more. Music. 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 Very good. Hallelujah. Getting down to the nitty gritty here, son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is really serious, you know. I'm not making fun of you. But these are things that are working against you. These are some why you have some of the problems you have. Because you're not dealing with the darkness. Darkness has a personality, you know. Darkness has an identity. Darkness is not just something that's blah. And darkness is not passive. Darkness is like cancer, like brother was saying. And it's not only cancer, but it's malignant cancer. It's aggressive. And what it does, like the man strapped to your back, it lives in your body. And your body doesn't recognize it as a death threat. And so it feeds off of your body, strengthening itself so that it can move into a position of taking your life. Kills the host in which it lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to put a stop to it. Hallelujah. We have to put a stop. You have to put a stop to it. For the sake of yourself as well as your family. And if you're married and have children, for the sake of your children. You have to overcome. You have to push through. You have to begin to instruct your children. We are so academic in our thinking. Hallelujah. Let's get spiritually academic in our thinking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we have what? Father's house. Hallelujah. Father's house. That's the family you grew up in. Hallelujah. That is ancestral worship. Is that right? Come on. Is it right? You know, you go out from Nigeria and they send a spirit after you when they want you to come back. And they beckon you, come back. Why? Because they want you to renew the covenant of the family. Is this right? Am I telling you? Do I got it mixed up somehow? Huh? Hallelujah. You know, mom was a Christian, dad was a sinner. Dad did not find the Lord until he was just before he died. Hallelujah. And dad was not only a sinner, but dad was a big sinner. Hallelujah. My mom would pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Hallelujah. And mom had a hard time with that. Dad wasn't a very good person there for most of his life. Hallelujah. But at the end of the day, he got saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there was a stand that I had to make as a young man. My dad was very well-to-do. He had a big business. He had several acres of land that he had orchards and for peaches, growing peaches and almonds. And he wanted me to be involved in his business. He wanted me to be involved with the farms. And he was trying to instruct me and to teach me and to tutor me. But there were certain things that Dad was doing that as when I got saved, I couldn't do. Hallelujah. And I had to begin to make a stand. I couldn't go to his Christmas parties. I couldn't go to his different functions that he was having for his business, or go to the different conventions that he was going to, because of the environment of that convention or that party and the things that were going on. And I had told Dad that I was a Christian. Hallelujah. So there came a point in time that I had to say to Dad, I cannot do that. I can't participate. I'm willing to work for you and do what it is that you want me to do, but I can't do these other things. And it brought a breach between my dad and I. Hallelujah. But that did not deter me or detract me from doing what I needed to do. Hallelujah. And you know, it was years down the road when Dad got himself into some big financial trouble. Who do you think he came to help him in the business, to orchestrate it, to help him? He was closing out all of his holdings, and he needed somebody in there he could trust. He came knocking on my door. And he said to me, Bert, will you help me? And I said, yes, I'll be happy to. Hallelujah. And it touched him. It touched him. Do you know, my dad never could tell me he loved me. The first time my dad told me he loved me when I was 28 years old. And I can remember standing out, and this was after all of this was happening. I can remember standing out by his car, and he said, you know, Bert, I want you to know I love you. Hallelujah. It was years. Years. Hallelujah. But the result of the fruit that it produced was worth all the time of separation. Hallelujah. And there came a time down the road when there was difficulty with mom. Hallelujah. Because she began to lean and to move under a different gospel. She began to pick up something that was contrary to righteousness. And I had to make a stand. Hello? But this time it also involved my children. Because she was very close to some of my children. And she wanted to do certain things with my children. And I said to her, no, no. You can't do that. It's not permissible. I cannot allow you to do it. And it brought a breach. It brought a breach. Hallelujah. And it was years down the road, hallelujah, before mom repented. But mom repented. Hallelujah. And you know, there was a testimony. She went to my oldest son, and she said to him, because she had a certain affiliation with him, and there was something very special to her about him. I think he kind of reminded her of me. Anyway, she went to the son and she says to the son, now you don't have to raise your children the way that your dad raised you. Do you know what my son said to her? He said, Grandma, I love you, but there was nothing wrong with the way that my dad raised me. And if I can raise my children as well as he raised me, it will suffice me. Hello? Hallelujah. Man, I'm just skipping over all of the years of confrontation and trouble and separation and the having to work with the bitterness of soul, not my soul, but other people's soul around me. And you know how bitterness likes to gather? You know, bitterness likes to gather. It goes around until it finds a soul to commiserate with him. Hello? Darkness. It's darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are certain aspects here. I go home. Put this drawing down and begin to think about the point of darkness that you have to contend with. Hallelujah. What is the alternative? What is the alternative? Huh? What is the alternative? If he says, get thee out of thy country, we have to go to a country that is called the Kingdom of God. Hello? Hallelujah. And then go into the scriptures. Read about the point or the principles that make up what God calls the Kingdom of God. In fact, there is one place in Matthew, I think, in the Beatitudes, that talks about the Kingdom of God. They shall inherit the Kingdom of God. Blessed are they. Huh? Yes, but what? Blessed. Peace? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the Kingdom of God. Poor in spirit. Funny attribute, isn't it? Poor in spirit. Praise God. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, out of thy kindred. Hallelujah. What is kindred? Hallelujah. It would be, would it not be the household of faith? Huh? That is Matthew 6:22. Somebody can get that and read it. I'm just quickly going through a couple of these so that I ask you, go into the scripture and find out what is your kindred. By the way, does that include me into your family if you call me brother? Huh? There's a funny thing. I know that you teach your children to call those around you in the fellowship auntie and uncle. Is that right? Hallelujah. Something here. There's something here. Which of these houses is the real house? Which of these houses is the real house? Huh? Really? We don't act like it. Or maybe your family is as quarrelsome as is a household of faith. I don't know. We don't act like it. You will give preference to your family in the place of the preference of the household of faith. If God calls them eating, hallelujah, we feel like we have the right to attend or not to attend. God calls a meeting. I think God called this meeting. Did God really call this meeting?
Yes, sir.
God called it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I travel a lot, and it's not because I like to travel. Hallelujah. And there's different conferences around the world. And somebody will always ask me, are you going? And my answer is, well, I have not been told I am not to go.
Amen.
Now, God has told me, don't go. Hallelujah. And I won't go. But if God don't tell me not to go, then I'm obligated. I'm obligated. I'm obligated by the Spirit of God if I believe in the reality that God called the meeting. Why would I not want to be in a meeting that God called? And, you know, the meeting may not even go the way that I would want it to go. Do I come out of the meeting grumbling, or do I come out of the meeting burdened? You know, sometimes God sends me to the meeting just to burden me. Huh? Do you know that? He sends me to a meeting to sit there and listen to a bunch of unmitigated garbage that is going out just so that I can have a burden, a prayer, and begin to intercede for the people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we have the household, of faith. Household of faith. You know, brethren, you need to think about family is darkness if it's outside of the jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit. It is. Hallelujah. You know, my instinct is to cover my children. To cover them, to help them, whatever their difficulty is, just to step in and try to do it all. But you know, sometimes God says, no, 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 no. Do not touch it. Do not even get involved with it. And you know what happens at some of the most inopportune times. I'm getting ready to go to, where was I going? It was somewhere that we went. Was it Liberia? No, it was before that. Well, anyway, one of my children did something very, very, very stupid. He should have known better. He did know better, but he did it anyway. Huh? Yes. And it happened on the night before I was leaving at 4:00 in the morning. I get a call, and he says, Dad? I says, oh, hi, what's going on? He says, I'm being arrested. You're what? I'm being arrested. I said, as in going to jail? And he said, yes. I said, oh my God, what did you do? And so he begins to tell me the story. What am I to do? Cancel my trip? When God told me to go? What am I to do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I packed my bag. I said, son, I will pray for you.
Hallelujah.
Could be in big trouble, huh? Hallelujah. I used the opportunity to get in touch with his brother and to tell him, I said, this is the story. I want you to be involved. See what you can do to help him. There's been kind of a breach there. And you know what? It healed the breach. Hallelujah. And you know what else? God moved so miraculously for that person. I mean, he worked so miraculously. And he did just what was needed to be done. And you know what he did? He ended up on parole. And I said, son, and he was complaining to me about it. I said, son, God has put you on parole. You better behave yourself. I didn't do anything. I went to Africa. Hallelujah. It's serious business. And you know, I could have said, no, I got to cancel my trip. I have to be there. I have to see what I can do to get a lawyer for him. And I have to be there at the court when he goes. And I have to do this and I have to do that. And God said, garbage. Nonsense. You go. So I went. Hallelujah. God moved. God delivered. Hallelujah. And God did just exactly what needed to be done. And in the midst of it, he brought a healing of relationships. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to turn loose, Bola. Somewhere, sometime, you have to turn loose. Hallelujah. You have to back off and take your hands off of it. And it's the same with us in the church. We have to take loose. We don't believe God is able to run his house. Hallelujah. And so we step in to do this, and we step in to do that, and we step in to do this, and before we know it, we're pastor, doing pastor things. And we begun to behave like a pastor. And say, always praise the Lord, bless you, hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. The last house. Son of God. Hallelujah. Brethren, this is life. This is darkness. Which house are you going to choose? You have to make a decision now. Circumstances, events are going to be orchestrating your position of decision, and every decision that you make from this point on is going to determine which house you are facilitating. Hallelujah. Serious business. Serious business. Praise the Lord. And God bless you.
Oh, praise the Lord. If you can, just hold the hand of the person next to you. You are going to pray for the person next to you. You see, the words we've heard, they are parables. These are words that don't come all the time.